enjoy your
extra big-ass fries.
You didn't give me no fries. I got an empty box.
Would you like another
extra big-ass fries?
I said I didn't get any.
Thank you. Your account has been charged. Your balance is zero. Please
what?
Come back when you can afford to make
a
purchase.
No, no.
I'm sorry you're
come
having
on.
Trouble.
Come on. My kids are starving.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio. Here at Revolution Radio, we believe in freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, but above all, we believe in freedom of existence through self-reliance. This station is 100% listener-supported, and as a fundraising promotion, I have a kick-ass free gift for a $100 donation. 35,000 seeds. 25 years in the freezer. Long-term storable, 54 different varieties. So, if food prices go crazy, the shit hits the fan, or if you just want to save tons of money every year by creating your own food like I do, grab our seed pack special. Just look for the banner on the homepage at freedomslips.com. Don't be a statistic. Don't be part of the problem. Be part of the solution. We need, as humans, to start taking care of ourselves and not depending on the megacorps to provide unhealthy, nasty food. Included in this package is also a DVD with 900 survival and off-grid living documents and the offline home canning how to do everything website all on the DVD. So when you're growing all that food, you know how to can it, store it, preserve it, etc. with all these documents. So thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I hope that you will pick up this package and start learning to be free. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where information never sleeps and freedom is one seed that needs to be planted.
What are we doing live? It goes in eternity.
You have a choice, whether to be a madman or a bold genius. What's the difference? A madman is somebody who does the same action over and over and over for an unknown destiny. A bold genius is somebody who does the same action over and over and over again for a known destiny. That is why fortune always favors the bold. True titans of our times and of the past, who are bent on making most of their opportunities in life, are too busy to bother with luck. Luck is the good fortune you determine for yourself. So find the strength. Have the knowledge. Summon up the courage to accomplish and see that your dreams are limitless. Your dreams are the fabric that binds all of us together. Rise up! Rise up like fire! Ascend the ladder of your dreams. We choose to rise, not fall. We choose to live, not die. Shift to your triumph. Today, you shift to your triumph. And carry your dreams forward until your life is a capital of triumph. I believe in you, and I know you can do whatever you want. You have an unlimited potential. This moment, this second, your life is an Olympian sunrise. This is your time.
This is your time. Right here at RevolutionRadio.com to rise up and make the difference. Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. Listener supported 100%.
Who are we? Where do we come from? Are there other humans in our Milky Way galaxy? What is our real history? What happens after we die? Or what created our universe? What is the purpose of our lives? What evolutionary steps do human societies go through? Who built the ancient monolithic sites found all over the Earth? How did the extraterrestrials travel from star to star system with almost no time passing? Ohio Exopolitics is on at 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio. Join Mark Snyder as he interviews a myriad of excellent guests each Saturday night on Revolution Radio.
At freedomslips.com.
Hi, this is the voice known as Tammy Pepperman. Have you ever thought about how this seems like a farm? The food comes with daily recommended allowance, just like any other farm animal. If you get out of line, you get prodded, slapped, or killed if you're too much liability. And if you are not earning your keep, you can find yourself in prison for non-payment of taxes or child support. If you're tired of being farm product, join us every Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Studio B, and Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Studio B, right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentiles, mammals and reptiles, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on freedomslips.com and also the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, a listener-supported broadcast and a listener-supported network. Isn't that interesting? I hope the listeners support us and at least continue to do so. Hoi! Now, I had a hell of a rant in the last hour, you know. I've just been kind of sitting here stewing for a couple of days, just going, you know, chomping at the bit, like some description of rabid dog. And the other element I wanted to actually bring up today was the argument I had the day before yesterday on Facebook, and this was about vaccination. Now, vaccination, I don't know what your opinion is on it. And frankly, I don't care because I'm here to tell you mine. And the thing about it is, there's two sides of the debate. All right. And just like a lot of, false debates, obviously. And, here's the thing about vaccination. Now, I've looked at both sides. Now, one side has billions of dollars to spend on marketing, effective control over the FDA and AMA and US government. Gets caught lying all the time, sells and markets products direct to consumers, pays doctors bonuses for the more product they sell, justify product safety with tiny medical trials without control groups in many cases, and have been sued so much that the US government has now made it illegal to sue them. And they rebut their detractors with name-calling, repeating marketing slogans, appealing to people's emotions and fears, refusing to look at any contrary evidence, obfuscated statistics, from medical trials with no third-party oversight. The other side has no money, refuse to administer treatments if they don't know what the ingredients are, have scientific evidence from trials verified by third party with no financial stake, and get sued all the time by pharmaceutical companies, get their practices raided and shut down by people with guns, have their medical licenses revoked, and submit research findings directly to government officials who don't look at them. And they rebut their detractors by asking to see direct evidence of their claims, reviewing evidence submitted and replying to it on a line-by-line basis, suggesting more effective methods of combating disease, reasoning with them, and showing research and studies that contradict their claims. Who do you think is telling the truth? I think it's pretty obvious. You know. Well, who was it that said this? If you want to find out, might have been Voltaire. I like the name Voltaire. It just sounds cool. I don't know who the hell the guy is. If you want to find out who runs your society, find out what you're not allowed to question. If you're questioning vaccination, boom! You know, the whole establishment comes down on you like a megaton of bricks. You know, it's 1,000 freaking tons of bricks. Just freaking boom! Right down on you. Oh my God. All I'm trying to do is protect people from, I don't know, injecting poison directly into their bloodstream and bypassing the, you know, the skin that's supposed to protect, you know, terrible viruses and stuff like that from getting into your body. Sorry about that, bro. Look. I apologize. I'm trying to save people's lives, you know. I think that's pretty straightforward. And of course, as I mentioned in the previous hour, when a psycho is involved with something, the way he will deal with his detractors is by accusing them of doing what he's doing. Okay? So the vaccination lobby will say, oh, these people are quacks. Bro, you're a quack. Oh, these people are corrupt and they're just doing it for the money. Bro, you're corrupt. You're doing it for the money. Oh, these people are well-financed by shadowy lobbies. Bro, you're well-financed by shadowy lobbies. You know? I couldn't even envisage a more shadowy lobby. Unless, of course, we're talking about Rockefeller Plaza, of course, in New York. That's, their lobby's pretty shadowy, so I hear. It's probably because it's built on a fault line of like evil dark energy on a ley line or something like that. I don't know. I'm just making it up because it's funny. You know, I mean, just because we're being exterminated ruthlessly by criminal sociopaths doesn't mean we can't have a few laughs about it, eh? All right. Otherwise, what's the point of being exterminated? You can't enjoy yourself. I don't understand what people's mentality is. We're getting too serious about it. And the elements behind vaccination that I find particularly nasty is this child's safety element. Because they're always going on about, oh, won't somebody please think of the children? Now, I don't know if Isaac Newton or anybody else who discovered some incredible scientific discovery that was verifiable with facts and evidence ever had to come up to people and say, please think of the children, in order to justify their findings. Because normally, if you've got findings that are justifiable, you've just shown the evidence. But apparently the vaccination lobby doesn't have to do that. You know? You ask anybody who's pro-vaccination, anybody, guaranteed, they won't know the answer to this question. In fact, they won't even know one answer to this question. What's in the vaccines? The blank stare will come up at you. Even my mother-in-law, 30 years, a nurse, vaccinating children six ways from Sunday, including her own daughter, now my wife. Okay? No freaking clue, mate. Never been told. Never even questioned. That's when you know that you're dealing with a marketing guru. Because they ain't got facts. They've only got spin. Gosh dang that Edward Bernays. And for those who don't know what Bernays is, it goes really good on a sandwich. No, I'm kidding. He was actually the nephew of Sigmund Freud. who said that there's all these unconscious desires in your mind and everything. And so what Bernays did is he found out a way to mind control people into making those desires actually useful so that you could market to people bullcrap that they didn't like and will run out very soon. And also was so freaking good at it that they want new stuff before the old stuff's even been used up. Brilliant! It was good for the economy. Certainly wasn't good for evolution. Certainly wasn't good for human beings. Certainly wasn't good for the future of freaking humanity. And certainly wasn't good for planet Earth. But if you're a ruthless criminal sociopath, those things don't matter. Because if you've got money and power and sex, that's all you need. What is this desire that we all feel, you know? I mean, I'll admit I'm a bit of a technophile, you know. I love my gear. I love my gadgets. But I don't love them like I love my wife. I see them as tools, you know, kind of like the mainstream media talking heads, you know, they're just a tool. Of course, there's a double entendre in there somewhere, but the element which I wish I'd want to really expand on here is how easy it is to convince somebody of a lie and how hard it is to convince them that they've been lied to, as Mark Twain said. And I think it basically goes like this. If you can make somebody afraid, their higher brain function clicks off. You know, like a light switch. Gone. Your ability to think disappears when you're afraid. Now, this is a survival mechanism. Because if there's a tiger in the forest and he's after you, the last thing you need is higher brain function. You know, what are you going to do? Reason with it? Tell them the philosophies of some ancient Chinese dude who died a couple of thousand years ago? Is that going to be, no? Then it's not going to be useful. It's because all the blood and all the energy in your body goes out to your outer extremities, goes out to your arms, goes out to your legs, and out of the brain. Right? And the brain kind of clicks into flight mode or fight mode. And in those situations, there's limited thought that's capable of being, of going on there. And you can induce, people into this state in a number of different methodologies. Television is one of them. And people don't understand exactly why or how, television brainwashes you so effectively. Here's why. Flicker rate. Your iris, I don't know whether it's a creative design or the result of evolution yet. Haven't really seen compelling evidence from one way or the other, so I'm still a little bit unsure. But whatever happens, your iris actually reacts in a fight-or-flight response when it sees subtle changes in texture and light and shadow. So, again, using the tiger analogy, you see an orange flash in the corner of your eye, you will instantly look at it to see what it is, because that's the survival mechanism. And this is how television works. It has a very, very fast flicker rate. So if you ever look at the wall, you know, if you've ever seen, like, you've been outside somebody's house and you know that they're inside watching TV, you see the different colors and flickers on the walls and that kind of thing. What that's doing is it's actually putting you into a subtle fight or flight response. Your brain reacts like that and, again, shuts down higher brain function. This gets you in from the alpha waves to the beta waves, or I might have that confused. I always get these two confused. Are they alpha waves or beta waves? Doesn't really matter. Whatever it is, one of them is the analysis, mathematics, and the thinking, right? You see patterns, recognition. The other side is the lower state. It is emotion. It is suggestibility. It is feeling. And that is the part of the brain that starts to light up after only 30 seconds of watching television. That's how they get you. Okay? You ever heard of the body snatchers? They get you while you sleep. Well, they figured out a way to put a box in your house that puts your brain to sleep and allows all of this stuff to come waving in without actual higher brain function engaged. So you don't even know what it is you're watching. And I think that this is kind of like so insidious and nasty that, you know, couples, for example, they fight over who's got control of the remote. Me and my wife came up with a creative solution. We threw the TV out the window, and now we don't worry about who's got the remote. You know, what a revelation. And you know how much we miss TV? Not at all. People are coming out to me like worried about Ebola and worried about terrorism, worried about this, that, and the other blah, blah, blah that they saw on the news or something, something, blah, blah, blah. I don't have anything anymore, and I'm not afraid of it anymore either. And if somebody comes up to me and they are afraid of it, it's just because their brain functions weren't engaged. And they can just show me an article, show me a couple of news pieces or something of that nature. I'll go and I'll do some reading, I'll do some analysis, and then figure out whether or not it's actually a credible threat. Because 99% of the time, whatever the news is telling you is a threat, stops being a threat if you just turn it off. There was a great picture I saw on Facebook. This dude sitting in front of the TV and the newscast is going, "Oh my God, how are we going to reduce the terror?" And the guy goes, "Click." That's how you win the war on terror, ladies and gentlemen. You want to reduce the terror? Turn off the terror propaganda. All right? They're trying to make you afraid of something that ain't really a threat. Now, a boulder aside, say the threat of terrorism, there's more people who die from peanut allergies every year than terrorism. Okay? You're more likely to slip in your shower and crack your skull open and die than you are to die from terrorism. You're more likely to die from choking on a cabbage leaf on a dare than die from terrorism. Okay? It's not a credible threat. So naturally, they need to hype it up and keep it in your consciousness the whole time. Lower that brainwave state down so that you can't think for yourself and think to yourself, you know, are these people actually a threat? Or is it the news that's just basically making up the threat and filling our minds full of BS and making sure that we can't actually discern what a real threat is anymore? I think that's about right, isn't it? There's some scumbags out there who think that, well, people's freedom is something that they can't be trusted with. My opinion is it's not their friggin' decision to make, is it? They got the power to stop us from thinking for ourselves. They got the power to enslave, kill, dominate. They can send a hellfire missile now anywhere in the world and hunt down one unlucky individual and shove it right down his throat, and there ain't nothing anybody can do about it. All right? That's basically the situation that we're in. And to be honest, it's kind of scary. And again, when you let that fear get to you, it's exactly what they want. The terrorists win. What is the definition of terrorism? Well, let's have a look at the dictionary here. Well, it's a system of government. Huh? You heard of communism? System of government? Yeah. Heard of fascism? System of government? Yeah. Terrorism. Right there in the dictionary. It's a system of government, bro. How does the system of government work? Well, it turns out that it terrorizes its host population into doing what it wants. And I was like, whoa, hold on a second here. Does that mean that the US government and the New Zealand government and basically every government are terrorists? Yes, by very definition, it does. Because they don't try to reason with you. That's kind of like the vaccine lobby just coming back into this. They're not trying to reason with you. And if you engage in an argument with them, out come the name calling, out come the BS, and then they leave. And they go, ah, I can't convince him of my lies. This is not worth my time. It's like, bro, you're trying to like tell me that I'm brainwashed and propagandized when you are the one who's brainwashed and propagandized, okay? It's just that freaking simple. You can't back out of it now, son. Just because you've come up to an argument for the first person in your life who's smarter than you and knows more than you about a subject doesn't mean that they're dumber than you and knows nothing, okay? Don't be so arrogant as to think that you know everything or that you can convince everybody of everything. And I see this even as a problem within the truth movement as well. It's almost like you're trying to go out and convince somebody of something even though you don't know them and you don't really know what you're talking about in the first freaking place. And I admit, I used to do this myself. I used to really go, like, oh, I'm going to go and convince people this is an inside job. You know, it's so obvious, you know, the things that blew up and blah, blah, blah. And bro, people ain't prepared to accept it. They're still not. What is it like, more than 10 years on, 13, 14 years on? People still got no clue how it happened. Even the people who think that they know and try to convince you that it's an inside job still don't know exactly how it happened. All we've got is theories and stacks of evidence, but unfortunately those stacks of evidence all have loose ends. There's things that don't tie in. We don't really know. And as a result, because there's so many different theories about what's going on, and in my opinion, very few of them can be totally disproven, and the ones that are much more credible are going to be like impossible to disprove, what that says to me is that multiple methodologies were used, all right? Multiple conspiratorial scumbaggery methodologies were used in the destruction of 9/11. That's my opinion based upon listening to the evidence of like Dmitry Khalazov and Richard Gage and Dr. Judy Wood, that they all actually happen to have very credible evidence for elements of their theories. And I don't see a whole lot of people actively debunking them other than through the use of straight denial. So what this made me conclude is that maybe all three methodologies of destruction were used simultaneously, and then you create a 9/11 truth movement out of that who will infight forever about it. Boom. You got no traction. No traction. And it's a long game. People don't... I mean, there's actually even still people who believe that there's such a thing as a magic bullet that killed JFK. That he got shot several times by one bullet, you know. It's freaking insane. And the lie is so huge and so obvious that people can't believe that it's a lie. That's how it works. And I don't say, oh, it's a waste of time exposing these conspiracies. It's a waste of time to not try. All right, really. Because if you expose 9/11, and it is possible to convince people of it, you need a bit of evidence, though, because it's an extraordinary claim, and every extraordinary claim requires extraordinary evidence. It is possible to convince people of it, but we have to play the long game here, okay? Because otherwise you get depressed about it, all right? You really do. You go out and you go, I'm going to convince everybody that 9/11 was an inside job. And then 9 out of 10 people say that you're nuts, right? Half the people will agree that the official story is BS, but 9 out of 10 will think that you're just crazy if you mention directed energy weapons or nukes or mini nukes or controlled demolition or thermite. It's just outside of their frame of reference. They can't believe it. Not at first. But if you're playing your part and you understand that this is actually a long game that we're playing, what was it? Dr. Rima Labo told me that it takes statistically 7 people to tell you the same thing before you will abandon a previously held belief. So that means if you see, I don't know, somebody talking about 9/11 or talking about terrorism or something of that nature, and you simply toss in what I call the information grenade. You know, you pull the pin, you chuck it in, and then you walk away and hopefully it blows up in their face someday. That's basically what you got to do. You just got to play your part and hope that maybe 6 other people like yourself who know that 9/11 has something definitely wrong with the, in fact, there's not something wrong with the official story. There's nothing right about it. Nothing. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like more planes than they're telling us about. But, you know, that's how loaded with crap that it is. And in order to punch through that, you can't do it by yourself. Right, and this is the thing. You can't overburden yourself with responsibility, can you? Right? Did you cause all the world's problems? Did you stage the false flag attacks yourself? No. Then stop trying to take responsibility for all of them by yourself. It's freaking silly, and you're overloading yourself with responsibilities that you could never possibly fulfill. And if you go out and try to fulfill those possibilities that you can't fulfill, you get really depressed about it, and then you stop trying to fulfill them. Whereas if you think on a very low level, just a tiny little bit of contribution to society, is that all that's required? If you sit back and you go, maybe I'll try and convince somebody and assume that there's an 80% likelihood that they'll just call me a conspiracy theorist and walk away. That's fine. Go on to the next one. There's something I learned in telesales before I became a truther, when I was listening to Patriot Talk Radio and watching documentaries all the time, and I was at the same time a telemarketer and calling people out of the blue while in the middle of dinner, and I got so freaking good at it that I was getting a 50% strike rate. So for half the people who picked up that phone, who had no idea who I was, no idea what company I work for, no idea initially what I was selling, I was capable of convincing them honestly who I was, what I was there for, and convince them to take it because they could. All right? And that taught me a very important lesson. If you want that strike rate, you'd have to have no emotional investment in the initial success. Because if somebody abuses you in that position of the job, and believe me, you get a lot of abuse, believe me, it's out of control, then you don't make that next call. And you have to make the next call. You have to go, and relaying this back to the truth movement, whatever that means anymore, you got to go on to the next person. Somebody ain't buying what you're selling. You ain't going to be able to sell anything more unless you go and try and sell it to somebody else. Okay? And, you know, it's like you could argue about the terminology that I'm using. Oh, funny, we're not selling ideas here. Well, actually, bro, we are. And not everybody who tries to sell you something is doing it out of pure self-interest. Sometimes they're actually trying to get you a product that will help you in your life. You know? That's it. Or at least that's the principle that I abided by when I had my job as a telemarketer for a major telecommunications company here in New Zealand. I can't tell you who they are because I signed a contract. Why? Because I wrote a 7-page essay about what was wrong with the company and the training programs and the structure of the company and everything after being there a number of years, because I was all around, all over the place, getting to know people in different sectors and getting a full spectrum vision of what the company could be like. And instead of listening to me or actually acknowledging any of the things that I pointed out were actually problems, they fired me. All right? That's how it works in the corporate world. If you want to improve things, if you've got an original idea, fired. That's basically it. There's no compassion. There's no reason. There's no care. And, you know, I think that was probably the best thing that might have ever happened to me. In fact, the worst things that have ever happened to me at the time, I've always found out, wind up being really, really great. Because it's almost like being an alchemist. You have to transmute what happens to you and then learn something important from it so that you actually attach value to something that devalues your life. You know what I'm saying? I like to be a fairly ironic son of a bee. And the concept behind this is that nothing bad that ever happens to you happens without purpose, without reason, and without something great that can come from it. And I think that those years talking to new people over the phone and learning how to compose myself, learning how to be somewhat emotionally detached from the things that I was doing, has actually really prepared me for a career in talk radio. And I'm really grateful for that, even though the people I was working for at the time, for their telemarketing company, were freaking sociopaths, you know? You can learn a lot, even from somebody who doesn't know a lot. You know what I'm saying? And the truth movement's like this as well. I think it's kind of like we're trying to accomplish something that's never been achieved before, a global awakening. Okay? We're trying to lift the consciousness level. We're trying to lift the level of information that is available to the public through the airwaves, the blogs, and the video, etc., YouTube, whatnot. And also, on the same time, we're trying to create something that doesn't exist yet, maybe has never existed, a fair and just society that can be sustained for a long period of time. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm really cynical. I believe that I may not live to see this great future that we're building right now. It's like Martin Luther King said, I may not be there with you when we finally reach the top of the mountain. But I think that it is actually the duty of everybody who realizes that there is a mountain, that it can be climbed, that we can be at the top one day, and that we can look down on all creation and say, you know, we actually did it. Against all the odds, against all the propaganda, against all the sabotage, infighting, scumbaggery, douchebaggery, and various other forms of baggery, we came through and we actually made something that was great, something that will last for a long time, something that helps people to be who they really are, that doesn't force them to conform to one person's vision of how they should all be, who actually has that kind of society that hasn't existed yet. I would love that to happen, man, and I'd love that to be now, but it's not. Not yet. And I remember now when I was interviewing these Maori elders in New Zealand. They call them Kaumatua, and they were telling us that I think these guys were into sovereignty, you know, like the free man, straw man, you know, movements and that kind of thing. In New Zealand, they have these kind of tribal assets called hapus, right? And they're sort of like independent communities, and you're capable of doing your birth certificates with them and your car licensing and all of that kind of jazz. And one of the elders, who was really, really sick at the time, he'd been in Vietnam, been exposed to Agent Orange. And when he came back to New Zealand, they'd taken all his tribal land off of him while he was away. You know, he's part of the bloodline of chiefs. And in the 50s, the bloodline of chiefs was infiltrated by non-royalty. And those non-royal counterparts actually started a sabotage kind of war on the inside. It's kind of like, you know, how we've got an elite. Well, there was like a Maori elite, or at least this is what this elder was telling me. And he was explaining to the gathering of why they were doing this. They said, it's not for me. It's not even for our children. It's for those that are yet to be born, and only them, because they will only be the ones that are alive to see it. And I thought about this long and hard, and it's like we're only here temporarily, but what we do echoes throughout eternity, as they say in the Gladiator there. And I think that it's a responsibility to do something beyond your time. And that's actually something I want to achieve in my life. I want to leave something that for humanity that will be around long after I am not here. And I'm only 29, you know, and this is my goal. And it's been my goal for years. And I don't know exactly what I'm going to leave behind. I don't know how long it will be listened to or observed or enjoyed by generations to come, or how many, even if there is a next generation. We might all get exterminated, but I think I owe it to myself, and I think we all owe it to each other to try to make that difference in our own way. And one of the biggest mistakes people make is ask for help. You know, I know that sounds strange, that asking for help is a mistake, especially coming from me, but you don't need help to start something. Okay, let's say your idea is to go out and start making YouTube videos. You grab a phone or a camera or anything you've got, and you go out there and you start making videos. You know, there's protests going out all over the time, and they're like, oh, well, how do I find them? Have you bothered searching on Google for them, protest in whatever district you're in? No? Then freaking do that, and then turn up with a phone, record it, interview some people, and upload it. You don't even have to edit it. Do you have any idea how many YouTube channels in the world are incredibly popular with short videos that are completely unedited with somebody having an off-script rant? Okay? The possibility is there, but you have to take action in order to bring the possibility into reality. It does no good to just think about things and never act upon them. And sometimes it does no good to think about things for too long before acting upon them. Sometimes you have to challenge yourself and do something that scares you, something that you're uncomfortable with, something that you have never done before you realize that you're capable of doing it and actually realize that it's not only that not that difficult, but it's actually fun and that you can make a difference without anybody needing to help you hold your hand. That kind of thing. And I had, I recall a party that I went to and I met these guys, and this is before I, you know, even had a camera. And, I asked them what they did for a living. They say, oh, we do green screens for, films. And I go, wow, that's amazing. Could you hook me up? Could you help me get into the film industry or something? And they go, nah. If you want to get into the filming business, just do it. All right, just like Nike, just do it, mate. You don't really have to leave. somebody asking me to repeat what my grandpa said. No, it wasn't my grandpa. It was a Māori elder, and he said that what we're doing with the freedom, you know, trying to get rid of the Crown's jurisdiction over their hapu and their tribe and their bloodlines was not for themselves or for their children, but only for those that were yet to be born, because they were the only ones that would be around to see it and see the true benefits and the fruits from the trees that they had planted. Okay? And I think that reminds me of the Native American tribes. It's like whenever they cut down a tree, they would plant three right next to it. what a radical idea. I mean, imagine if the Easter Islanders had such forethought. Hey, bro, should we maybe, grow a few extra trees after we cut each one of these down on our tiny little island? Like, nah, bro, she'll be right. No, you're living in a desert. Nice one, bro. Good on you, son. See, that's what happens when you don't have forethought. And also, incidentally, that's what happens when you don't pay attention to the lessons of freaking history. I dislike people intensely who say that, oh, it's only the eternal now and that's all that matters. Well, sure, okay, the only thing you're living in right now is now and now and now and now, okay, and that doesn't end. But if you use that as an excuse to ignore every single lesson that history's ever taught and to refuse to ever plan for the future or have the foresight to make things happen, then it's you're just an idiot. All right? There is only one moment. It is this moment. That moment has stretched all the way back through history, and it will stretch all the way through eternity. In a way, we get to share a moment with everybody who has ever lived, or whoever will, and that is an encouraging thought. I think that I'm only young, but the vast majority of my friends are my elders. I don't really get on with people of my own age, not too many of them anyway. And I've always been like that. You know, I actually got on better with my teachers at school than I did with the kids, because the kids were idiots, you know? They hadn't learned anything, and they didn't even seem interested in learning anything. They didn't seem to give a frack, and I meant frack, as in the hydraulic fracturing process, not the other word, which it goes with a knife and that you use to eat food with, otherwise known as a fork. That's right. And I also wanted to think about, I mean, if you're talking about the future as a young man, what the hell do I know about the future? What the hell do I know about living through the life, right? And the answer is, I don't actually know. I haven't earned the knowledge, or at least the bulk of the knowledge that I have. In fact, it has been imparted to me for free by those who are older and wiser than I. And I am incredibly humble and respectful for that. They've had to live it. They've had to feel it in order to obtain the knowledge that they have accumulated. And the fact that they pass it on freely makes me incredibly grateful as a young man with limited life experience to be able to get that knowledge imparted by those who have already lived through it. They may not have lived through my time. They may not even be capable of surviving terribly well in modern times with all this technology. They may not even know how to use Facebook. But the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I think that what's happened in our society is that we've become so separated from our elders that our knowledge of history and our ability to plan for the future has been diminished greatly, and deliberately so. Because I think that what's happened is that our elders have basically accumulated more knowledge than we can currently in our short lifespan. Now, there's two ways you can go about having that. Number one, you can call everybody who's young like me a whippersnapper and say that, oh, you know nothing. Or you can look at us as a vessel of limited knowledge that is not yet full. And you can pour some of yours into us. All right. I think that's the responsibility of everybody who possesses knowledge that others do not, is that you need to spread that knowledge and help to fill the cups of people's empty vessels. You know what I'm saying? And I have this great fear that, you know, one day I might actually get so used to learning stuff that I'll actually give up on it. And I'll be like, oh, I know enough, bro. I can't stand that mentality. I really can't, you know. Oh, I know enough already. Really? You do? Do you? You know everything? Well, no, of course not. Then you probably don't know enough, bro. Okay? Because you don't know what you don't know. And the other element is, like, if people are actually kind of like, I don't know, giving you grief about having a lack of knowledge, does that increase your knowledge? No? Stop doing it to people, man. You know? It's like truth is always go after people and say, oh, you're a sheep or something like that. The sheeple. You know? It's like, bro, have you always been awake? Have you always known about the New World Order? Have you always known about vaccines, EMF, wireless radiation, and any number of thousands of eclectic different subjects that you kind of need to look into in order to qualify yourself as even slightly awakened? And you want to go and tell people that you know more than them, therefore you can look down on them and insult them and belittle them by calling them sheeple? How arrogant is that? How disrespectful. I mean, it's not like you knew the whole nature of the universe before coming into it, bro. Did ya? And so why get yourself up in a tizzy about some kind of superiority complex and actually tell people that they're stupid? All right? People don't actually react too well when you insult them. I found that on the again, in telemarketing. If you pick up the phone, hi, I'm Vinny Eastwood, screw you. They don't tend to want to buy what you're selling them. You know, it's inexplicable. I can't understand the mechanism. So why are you surprised when you go out and you call people slaves and scum and what have you, that they don't feel like listening to you, that they call you a conspiracy theorist? Okay? A wise man sometimes knows that it's best to just say nothing. All right? And sometimes a fool doesn't realize that he's talking too much. He doesn't know anything. Sometimes you just got to sit and smile and enjoy life. All right? Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, really. I've not had a job, you know, working for an organization or something like that in a long time. I'll never work for anybody ever again. I will work with people, but I will never work for anyone. And there's a very good reason for that, because I don't like people with a superiority complex or some form of authority telling me who I am or what I should do or what I'm here for. That's my decision to make. I get to decide what I want to do, how I'm going to go about it, and I don't like people telling me anything contrary. I like people to give me extra information in order to incorporate into my decision-making processes, but I don't like people who are very, very sure of themselves and know that, no, it is one way only. There is nobody involved in the conspiracy except Jews. You know, that kind of thing. It's just silly, man. The world is not cut and dried, all right? And that's why I never explain that everything is, like, so simple and cut and dried, except if it's wheat, you know, in which case it's just fantastic. And the point is, of course, that sometimes we get addicted to the sound of our own voice, and we learn so much that we think we've actually earned the knowledge that we have. If you have not put your knowledge into action, if you have not had it ridiculed, if you have not had it opposed, if you have not had a challenge to your ideas, to your ideals, and to your actions in and of themselves, then you don't know how to defend them. You don't know if your knowledge is actually true. You don't know if you're going about your life the right way. I still believe that I have no idea if I'm doing the right thing. Okay? I'm trying with the limited information that I have to do the right thing, you know, interviewing people who've suffered enormous traumas and need help. That's basically what I've figured out that I can really do. Some, you know, you figure out what your strengths are and you go out and do it. And people come at me and go, oh, Vinny, how am I going to contribute against the New World Order? You know, well, dude, you know, there's a whole bunch of ways to contribute. Okay. Any way you freaking want. How many ways is the New World Order screwing up your life and everybody else's? The answer is in every single way. And so if you want to resist it, do something that psychopaths can't do. Be creative about it. All right. What's your talent? What's your passion? What do you actually care about? If you don't really care, you're not going to be that freaking great at it, are you? Are you? I mean, look, there's some people are really passionate about hairdressing. I mean, really. And they are so brilliant at it, you know? And somebody like me, like a talk radio show host or something, and go, oh, you're not contributing much to humanity, you're just a hairdresser or something like that. Bro, you're being a douchebag, okay? If somebody excels at something, anything, they are to be commended for it, really. I mean, as long as they're not subsiding themselves into mediocrity for the rest of their lives, getting in traffic every day for absolutely no good reason to do a job that doesn't inspire them, you know? I think that basically we judge each other too much and we waste our opportunity to judge ourselves. Really think about that. Actually have a bit of a self-analysis moment every now and again. And it's kind of like the Ballad of the Cosmic Schmuck. It was this philosopher, his initials are R-A-W, Raw. And I can't remember the frick his name is. Terrible like that. But anyway, it goes like this. Cosmic schmuck. Cosmic meaning really big, and schmuck meaning idiot. Okay, pretty straightforward. How do you know if you're the cosmic schmuck? If you've never questioned whether or not you're the cosmic schmuck. Okay, if you go through your entire life and you never question, am I the cosmic schmuck in all of this? Then you probably are one, bro. Okay, it's that self-analysis that is so vitally important to the movement. Because sometimes, if you're only questioning other people, if you're only interrogating others, if you're only trying to busy your body into somebody else's business, you will never find out who you truly are, and you certainly won't get along that well with a whole bunch of other people. Will you, bro? Okay? It doesn't work like that. People like to be listened to, and people like to talk about themselves. People don't like to think about themselves, and people don't like to be talked at. Okay, that's at least something that I've learned, because it's kind of like, it puts you offside, you know? You want to get along with people, you got to help people, okay, constantly, and you will get that help back when you need it. I found that you need to kind of help 10 people before one person will help you back, and that's kind of how I run my life, you know? If somebody really Fs me off, and I fly into a rage, and I feel really unhappy and depressed about it. I've got like umpteen Skype and Facebook messages coming at me from people who need help. So I go, okay, I'll help you. And all of a sudden, I don't care about that one douchebag who really upset me anymore, because I just helped 10 people instead of wallowing in self-pity about it. I was like, brilliant. You know, what a good idea. You can actually make a difference in this world instead of just being a sad sack. What a revolutionary concept. This guy's got his head screwed on straight. And the problem is, I can't teach that to you. Nobody can. Somebody can give you the idea and you trigger a thought, trigger a passion, want to research something for yourself, want to go and take action. But I can't hold your hand. I can't motivate you to do what's best for you. I can only tell you what's out there, and you are the one that has to go and get it for yourself. And sometimes we spend our time listening to others and accumulating knowledge far more than we should, when a long time ago, and whatever time you decide to start acting, that's the perfect time for you, in my opinion. But a long time ago, many of us should have been kicked into action. Sometimes you've got enough knowledge to start moving forward. If you've got the map, you can start walking along that long and lonely road on the journey of self-discovery. And beyond that, I think we have a moral obligation, if we see somebody along their own little road, to help them up, give them some water or a sandwich or something, and just go, bro, it's not that bad. I mean, really, you're still alive? How bad could it possibly be? It'll always get worse. In fact, it probably will. And in fact, I've kind of resigned to failure, personally. I'm like, I honestly believe, to a degree, that the New World Order is going to be successful, that people like me and you and all the listeners that are listening here are on a kill list, and basically we're going to get exterminated someday. All right, I kind of believe that. But the thing is, I'm not worried about it, because I'm still alive. And every single day that I do something that is contrary to the goals of the New World Order, that is a success. That is a victory. Every single day that you are alive and resisting the New World Order is one more victory. And I have 365 victories per year. And occasionally there's an extra day of victory added onto there. Every 4 years, you know, I get a leap victory. Okay? So I think the key to happiness, basically, is really low expectations. You know? It seems pretty logical, doesn't it? The lower your expectations are, the less likely you are to be disappointed. So go out, dream big, and assume failure. But don't let your assumption of failure lead you to try and become a failure. That's not a bright idea, bro. And it's not going to lead to any revolutionary change. And more to the point, do you even want a revolution? A lot of people saying they do, but they don't even know what the word means. You ever driven in a car? You know, there's RPM right next to your speedometer? You know what that means? Revolutions per minute. Because a revolution means to go in a circle, bro. I think we need to break the cycle. Whatever it is that has been in control of humanity for goodness knows how freaking long, the days are numbered. And even if they ain't, I will spend my numbered days trying to oppose it, trying to expose it, and trying to kick it out of its nice ivory tower. And there isn't really any body who can argue me out of that. I mean, somebody might be able to convince me, you know, long down the track, Vinny, helping people and doing right by humanity, you're just a fool, it's just a waste of time, it's not a very good idea. Bro, I already resigned myself to the fact that it's probably a waste of time, but I'm just doing it anyway out of moral obligation. And sometimes, because it's fun. You know. I mean, look, I've chased politicians down the road with a megaphone. Believe me, it's a lot of fun. And everybody should do it. I'm not kidding. Messing with people who are evil is a lot of fun. Except when they, you know, except when there's some kind of consequence to it, you know, like if they kill your family off, and I guess that's probably not a whole lot of fun. But, you know, what are you going to do? Sit around, grovel about it, be unhappy, try to suckle up to the teat of the New World Order and just, you know, all right, become part of a mainstream political party and think, oh, well, I can change it from the inside. What are you, bro, a virus? No, you're not a freaking virus. You're a parasite. A parasite doesn't change the organism, bro. It kills it. And that's exactly how cancer grows, man. It grows on an exponential growth curve, and it only dies. It would live forever unless if it didn't kill the host, right? Cancer would live forever if it didn't kill the host. And when you think about how you're contributing, and I feel like I'm preaching to everybody, telling them what to do with their life. How arrogant and how rambunctious of me. And I wanted to actually say that I appreciate being here on Revolution Radio, live on the Vinny Eastwood Show, on the VinnyEastwoodShow.com and FreedomSlips.com. Please go to my homepage. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. And go ahead, make a donation. Support the broadcast. And there are countless archives also available on the website. If you can figure out how to search for them. It's not that easy, admittedly. I've got to do something with that. But, yeah. If you want to sign up for $5 a month to support me, that'd be really nice. And also, if you want to contribute to FreedomSlips.com and Revolution Radio, you can go to, obviously, the website here and get a nice wee donation in for there as well. Or even buy some of their products. Because sometimes, really, you want something for your money. And it's almost like if people are imparting really important knowledge for you, it should often be for free. And a lot of people get the access to this knowledge on this network for free. And there's something fabulous about that, that there are people out there that are willing to contribute, that are willing to support the network, even though they don't wind up having any riches to show for it. And that's really nice. Good on you, Freedom Slips listeners. You good people. All right. Presume there was some kind of break coming, but I guess not. Just keep going. Shall I? Yeah. Why not? Overdrive. It's freaking overdrive. On the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Yeah. It's good stuff. I wanted to talk about, I think, the whole vein of alternative media. And it's kind of like, you know, in order to do this job, you've got to have a bit of an ego. All right, really. People think ego's a bad thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it ain't. But ultimately, you got to do what you can with what you got. If you happen to be an egotistical narcissist and are good on talk radio, by goodness, use that for some good. Like me! We'll see you again sometime, folks.
Revolution.